The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Wonderful, Marvelous, Incredible, Fabulous, Surprising, and Believable Wednesday as we churn out spiritual applications in order to reflect Jesus more and more. First up, we are talking about and taking our Father at His Word. The question is, do we do that like children do with their parents, or do we kind of go,
let me think about it?
Next, we examine a harder saying of Jesus, like that God hides certain truths from certain types of people, whether we approve or not. Sorry. And finally, we get to see why God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary works in the kingdom, and here's a hint. It's so that people can't deny that it's God at work.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. All good things. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Okay, I'm going to say this once, and I'm only going to say it here. Politics, poly, meaning many, ticks, blood-sucking insects. That's all you got to know. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can reach out to us by texting 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call 972-445-0770. Big difference between texting and calling, for those that need to understand that. When you pick up the phone and you text, you're not really going to be talking to anybody except in your mind. Just remember that. Here is something to remember. It can be praise reports, prayer requests. It can be pop questions. We are going to be answering a pop question either Friday or Monday on Revelation chapter 3. So keep that in mind, folks. Just keep that aware of that. We had some people that asked some questions, and I decided to do a little extra study because it's fun. See, I like stuff like that. So for me, it's just a blast, and that's how I operate. Keep in mind also we have trivia, and here's our first trivia question. For those that think they know, here we go. Trivia question number one. Get ready. Get ready. Did Hezekiah author the book of Hezekiah? Did Hezekiah author the book of Hezekiah? Think you know? You can text 214-210-8483. You can call in 972-445-0770. Just keep in mind. Just remember. Just think about this. Just think about this. It's not professional radio. This is just us doing kingdom stuff and having fun together. Advancing, growing, loving in the Lord, loving one another, and being a blessing to one another. That's what we're doing. That's it. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to tell you. So little time. We have Terrific T, who's manning the not just the engineering part, but the producing part, doing a fantastic job. We are going to, I'm going to hum Havanagila, because we don't have the sound. Yeah, but Havanagila, 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 hey Israel. Okay, that's Havanagila for those that don't know. And why are we doing that? We're doing a little bit of Yiddish dictionary. And here's a word that a lot of people have heard, but you don't necessarily know what it means. I'm going to tell you this word. It's called chutzpah. You ever heard the expression, that person has a lot of chutzpah? Boy, oh boy, right? Ever heard that before? Yeah?
I have. Chutzpah.
Okay. Chutzpah. Give it the... Yeah, yes, you got to do. That's how they taught us in Hebrew school, by the way, for those that don't know. You went to Hebrew school, and half of the year they were going, no, not like this. And it's like, and now you can do it fantastically if you went through that. Chutzpah, being told that you have chutzpah is not always a compliment. According to Merriam-Webster, this noun is synonymous, one of those two, with nerve and gall, and is used to describe someone with the utmost confidence and audacity. See, I have chutzpah. You see how that works? Okay. Though the Yiddish word originally had an entirely negative connotation, in slang, it's used much more often as a positive and a negative both. So somebody might say, that guy stood up to that major league pitcher, went right up there with the bat, didn't even blink. That guy's got chutzpah. I mean, that's one way to say it. And then the other thing, that guy thinks he should be on radio. Wow, that guy's got a lot of chutzpah. That's another way to think of it. There's a few other ways. I think I'll pass on that because we don't really want to get fined. And so we'll just move on from there. trivia question still out there. People are just scratching their heads. I know it's a tough one. Keep it in mind. Did Hezekiah author the book of Hezekiah? You'll get the answer at the end of this if you can't text in or call in and to know the answer. Let's go forward with some of our teaching. I want to talk to you about being a child. Not one of my favorite topics. It's just what I live as a favorite topic. Very immature. My wife has many wonderful ways to say that, of which, again, I won't repeat those. But let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It's one thing to be on a basketball court and say, "Please give me the ball. I want to try for the last shot." There's nothing wrong with that. That means that you have confidence and you get it done. It's another thing to be the person that everybody needs to go to in all things, to all answers for all of life, because you think you know all things. And that is not the place to be, because there is only one who knows all things. There is only one who understands all things. And there's only one who can coordinate all things and love on all things and take care of all things. And there are times, there are moments where you and I shine, and that there's nothing wrong with that. And there are times where you speak good words and they really help. And there's times where you do good deeds and they're really a blessing. But there is an overall disposition or attitude that you and I should have when we're engaging with God and kingdom work. And that should be of a little child. And the reason is, because I can tell my grandson, who's 3 and a half, anything, and you know what? He believes me. You want to know why? Because I am grandpa, and he believes everything I say, plus I give him treats. So it's, if you think about it from that point of view, children are exceedingly trusting and willing to be directed or led, unless they're going through a very short phase of or no. So the idea, though, is that if you tell a child something and instruct a child on something, the child will be embracing that or taking that in their system. What Jesus is trying to say is, man, wouldn't that just be superb if all of you would be that way with the Father? Like, oh, you said you love me? I trust you. You said that you'll take care of things and you're in charge? I believe you. You said that you're going to come back and help us? I have confidence that that will happen. This is not like the Great Pumpkin, folks, where God is telling you a tale and you're going to go sit out in the pumpkin patch just like Linus did in Charlie Brown. This is not what that is. This is you and I having enough humility that even though we're adults and older, that before God, we're like little children. And by the way, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And it's a good thing to have a position in your life, an attitude in your life where it's like, Lord, you're in charge. You tell me. You guide me. When we go with my daughter and my other set of grandchildren to the zoo, the child does not get to dictate how the zoo experience goes. The parents do. Okay? The child is not allowed to open up the little area where there's all those snakes and spiders and stick her face in there. The parents coordinate where this will and won't go. And there is a confidence that when the child goes to the zoo, the child will have a great experience because the parents are watching out for the child. That thing right there. That's how God wants us to be with him. Having this confidence that God will take care of it and actually surrendering it. I do want to point this out. We're going to do a teaching on this later on. But Psalm 37, I think it's verse 5, 6, and 7, where it says to rest in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord, delight in him, commit to him, and rest. And I've mentioned this before. That word rest is to become dumb. And sometimes the best way to walk with God is to come before the situation, look up to God, and become dumb and go, nah, I don't know. You tell me. Because that's the safest, wisest place to be. And people that have that attitude tend to have the Spirit poured out upon them, tend to have the Lord reveal things to them, tend to have the Lord working through them on a regular basis, and they're very active in the kingdom. And they're servants in that capacity, and that's what makes them great. So there's this encouragement from the Lord. You think, oh, he doesn't mean like a child to a parent. Yes, he does. Be the child to your heavenly Father. Have confidence that he will not hurt you. He's not your earthly parent. It's not a problem parent. It's not a dysfunctional, sinful parent. God is a perfect parent and will only guide you and direct you and correct you in the ways that will be most beneficial for you, even if you don't get it. Just like you say to the kids, time for go to bed. Why? I'm not tired. Because you need sleep. No, I don't. Oh, wait. The parent does know better. See how that works? Aha. Okay, here's the answer. Did Hezekiah author the book of Hezekiah? No, there is no book of Hezekiah in the Old Testament. That's pretty sneaky of me. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6, 7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity.
from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple people not that happy that I pulled the old Hezekiah trick. Just so you can know, and so nobody has to feel bad, while I was pastoring in Flagstaff and we had a particularly large service that one day, I said, okay, everybody turn in your books to Hezekiah. And you should have seen how many people were flipping in their Bibles trying to find the book Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a king in Israel, but there's no Old Testament book named Hezekiah. It's funny. You can use it on somebody else. It's okay. See, people go, well, that's a lie. It's not a lie. It's called a joke. All right, here is something to be aware of. You can reach out to us at 214-210-8483 by text. Also, you can call us 972-445-0770. Here's our next trivia question. This is not a falsy one. This is all true. What was the name of the father of James and John? James and John, they were the children of... Aha, leave it right there. If you know, reach out to us. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Always fun and new things on the website, except from yesterday. I didn't put anything up new in the last 24 hours. So if you know the site better than me and you want to work on it, let me know. I'll let you do it. Hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. If you want to give, that's the great place to do it. Makes it pretty simple. We do it through PayPal. It's pretty easy. If you want to give directly through some kind of check or something, you just send me an email, and I'll be glad to do that. Okay, so our email, by the way, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay. Who was the father of James and John in the New Testament? That's what you got to think of. There's your answer. Okay. History. Ready for some history? You doing good today? You feeling good? Yeah, things are good? It's not bad in here, though. It's not, I mean, even though the air's not, the compressor's broken, I guess. That's what they told me. This way, go ahead.
Yeah, it's broken. But it's not too bad.
It's not that bad, right? Again, if you need a fan or something, let me know.
Oh, yeah, I have one. It's actually just feeling cool on my back.
I get worried because I have so much hot air coming out of me. I worry it goes through the window, and then you are not, you know.
If it goes through the window, I wouldn't be able to see you. It'd be so foggy.
Very funny. Okay, here we go. History. Here we go. Today, for those that do not know, it's Tapioca Pudding Day, which is like, meh. Right?
Those are so nasty to me.
Is it the little pudding cups that are nasty?
Yeah, all of them. Just imagine drinking a drink and then you have tapioca balls coming out of it.
Okay.
It's nasty.
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to agree with you a little bit on that one. Today is Be a Dork Day. I have no idea what that means. Yesterday was Be a Geek Day. So, I mean, Be a Dork Day. I don't know. They just come up with stuff. Cow Appreciation Day. I'm very thankful that we have cows. I support cows in a regular basis, both trying to become one with them when I eat them, and then also appreciating that they lead me to chickens from time to be. National Hot Dog Day. Can't go wrong there. I think that's good. Gummy Worm Day. Now, if you were younger, you liked gummy bears. I mean, a lot of people like those gummy bears. And it's also I Love Horses Day, which you can't go wrong with that. Do you remember the first – remember the horse that had a show? Just a little younger than you. Remember the horse?
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
There's a lot of people that remember that. It's Mr. Ed.
Yes.
Mr. Ed. You know what That's they what used to do? People know this. You know what they used to do? They used to put peanut butter in his mouth to make his lips move.
Really?
It's not that the horse minded, but it made the horse go, and then that it looked like he was talking. 1957, the Edsel came to the first official day of production of the Edsel, which also came to symbolize failure in popular culture. Some people like the Edsel. Got nothing to say about that. In 2005, on this day, Disneyland reopened, the Space Mountain ride, which was one of the great rides. Have you been on
Space
Mountain?
Yes, I've been on that. Love it.
Love Space Mountain. It's a great ride. I'm not a big roller coaster guy, but that one particular coaster.
Same.
My parents got on them,
and they loved it.
Yeah, that's a cool ride. And then in 1988, Die Hard opened to the theater. And the only reason I want to bring this up is because I was in Flagstaff, Arizona, when it opened. I went to the movie theater during the day. This one was pastoring in Flagstaff. I went to Die Hard. I'm just going to tell you this. This is really absolutely true story. It was me and four other people in the very first showing in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I thought, oh, boy, did I pick a loser here. When I left the theater, I still had 3/4 of my candy. That's how good it was. Like, wow. So, yeah, that was I'll just never forget that experience. Thinking, yep, can't evaluate it from that. All right, let's get into this next section. We were talking about being wise like a child, and the idea of humility and trusting is a very important part. Here I'm going to say something. Some people are not going to like it. There's going to be some controversy, and some people are rejecting it, which is fine, but I'm not reading anything I wrote. I'm just reading what Jesus said. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 23. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Okay, that's not Revelation 12, not yet to happen. That's like right there, verse 18. "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Verse 21, "At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children.' Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Wow. Just think about that statement. I just want to thank you, Dad. You're awesome. You've hidden these things from the people that are hotshots, and you've revealed them unto little kids. Remember that whole thing we were just talking about, little kids, that whole thing? Here we have another text, another affirming text. In fact, verse 22, "All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are your eyes that see what you see." So Jesus is praying. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's full of joy. And he says, "Dad, thanks for hiding this." Like, people are like, no, it cannot be. It doesn't fit my theology. Oh, well, sorry. It's like, no, that he wasn't talking about that. Okay. Well, he's talking about something, and he's hiding something, and something's being hidden from the wise and the learned. What does that mean? That means that God loves the regular people, the person. The reason that the Greek, in the whole Greek New Testament, if the Greek wasn't an educational or academic Greek, it was in Koinonia Greek. Koinonia Greek is fellowship Greek. They found, I can't remember if it's 3,600 or 4,600, all these notes written in Koinonia Greek, love poems and almost cartoonish kind of things and all this different stuff, because the Greek New Testament was written in the common language of the people, because God is not impressed with the pro. That don't impress God. You see, compared to God, there are no pros. It's kind of a nice way to say it, I think. If you think about God and where he is and how much higher above, I was thinking about this actually. If you think about Michael Jordan at his peak playing basketball, he was a pretty phenomenal player, right? So you being on the same court with God is kind of like a 1 hour old baby still attached to the umbilical cord to the mom beating Michael Jordan at his prime on a basketball court. Do you see how ridiculous that analogy is? Well, that's like you being on the same level of God. Nah, that's not happening. Okay? And the idea is that God hides these things from people that are, I'm so wise. No, you're not. I'm so smart. No, you're not. It's like you're thinking, wait. And the best thing to be is not. And you're thinking, why? This is what God loves to do. I want you to catch this. This is out of Acts chapter 4, and this is a verse. I'm just going to do verse 11, 12, and 13 because of our time. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He's become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to mankind whereby which men must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know what? It's fantastic. God loves ordinary people. And what's so cool about that is he does these extraordinary things through ordinary people so that the testimony can be, it's me. I did it. Oh, phone. Okay, hang on one sec. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, Van. Hi, Van. How are you?
Excellent.
All right, my friend. All right, so we got a question on the board, and it's not a difficult one. It is, who is the father of James and John?
Zemini. Zemini.
That is correct, sir. That is correct. And in fact, on Friday, I'm going to be doing a small little teaching on James and John leaving Zebedee. So I think it's going to be kind of an interesting thing. But excellent job. Now, is that now? I noticed that you're calling in a little later. Did you know right away, though?
Oh, yeah. And then I was doing something else. Okay. And I almost forgot.
You're so good. You're so good. You're right on target every time. Excellent job, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
All right. God bless you. All right. Excellent answer. Zebedee was the answer, and that's perfect. All right. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things so God can have a bountiful testimony. That's why he uses you and me. That's why. It's just that easy. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. My hope is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for. but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it, and it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, just fiddling around down here, just moving stuff around, moving papers around. See, because of the fans are on, so the papers kind of blow. So if I take something off it, it goes... That's all right. It's kind of fun. Don't forget, you can call in 972-445-0770 or you can text 214-210-8483. You just heard from Van. Great job. He's always on spot. I mean, don't you notice he's always, boom, gets it, calls. He knows. He doesn't even look it up. I love that. He's really got it down. Okay. All right, here we go. This is an interesting trivia question. Why don't you think it through. Don't get too complex on me, and don't freak out. Name the Bible character who was buried by God. Now, I'm not talking like Jesus Christ, okay? I mean, literally, God, there was no indication that God was the one that actually did it. All right, if you know that, go ahead and text us, 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now let's hear from our ministry partner. Kimberly Ellis. Hey, Kimberly. Hey, Tony. I hope you guys are doing great. We love you guys. And I follow them on Facebook as well. So I just want to give a shout out to them. First-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosure, short sale. Doesn't matter what it is. If you have some real estate needs, watch this.
Real estate needs.
If you have any questions, if you're really experienced, if you're really inexperienced, if you are really in a bad situation, if you're in a good situation, you're looking to buy and you want to add on, if you're in a situation where you need to sell, no judgment, no anything, talk to somebody who can help you walk through the process. And the phone call and touching out and reaching out and touching base with her does not put you in any obligation. You have to like her, and you will. It's Kimberly Ellis at 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES. So see, there's a 9, and then there's a 0, and then there's a 3. Okay, so it's 903. And then it's 48. 48. There are 50 states, not 48. So 903-48-HOMES, H-O-M-E-S. Reach out to her. You can also reach her directly through our website, too, at hemustincrease.org. Not directly, but you can link through that directly, indirectly. I don't know. Leave me alone. It's Wednesday. I did my workout. I don't care. I'm doing pretty good in school. I'm pretty happy about that. For those that have been praying for me, I'm not doing bad. I have
that's good.
196 points out of 200.
That's a lot. That's nice.
That's not bad. I got to pad it, though, because I know what's coming. This is how it works nowadays, in case you guys haven't figured this out. This is not like elementary. It's not like a BA degree. It's not like a master's degree. In the PhD thing, you get as many points as you can, because you know in the last 2 weeks they pull out the big guns and they go, aha, you think you knew, huh?
That is very true.
That is very, very challenging from time to time. All right, so one of the things that I wanted to really communicate today without driving you nuts, and for some of you it's just a short putt. That's a good one. Okay, I don't get nothing for that? Nothing? Okay. She is tough, I'm telling you.
No!
Thanks a lot. All right, so one of the things that I want to make sure you get is that you and I and all of us are not too smart for our britches. Okay, that's just the nicest way to say it to you. A teacher that I dearly love and dearly appreciate and has more intellect than I will ever have and has more influence than I will ever have has a small flaw in some of his eschatology because he cannot pull out of certain things. Like, he has to see it a certain way, and it kind of ruins it for him. And he kind of knows it, but doesn't want to say it. And I feel bad. It's just like, tell him it's okay. And my point in this is that you just don't want to be so sharp. Like, in my hand right now, I'm holding a Sharpie. It's a fine point permanent marker. Okay. There's not that many Sharpies in the kingdom. Come on. There's one superstar. Everything that we do, everything that's good that we accomplish, we're doing it through the Lord. We're doing it through him. I mean, you know this passage. I'll read it anyway. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. That's all. This is all what that is. And the reason that I tell you that, and the reason that I hammer it home, and you're sitting there, you know, Dave, I've listened to you for a year. This is probably the 15th time you said that. And in the next year and a half, I'll do it 15 more. Want to know why? Same reason there's four Gospels. We forget. That's why. We forget all the time. And it's like, you got to remember that God is the key, that Jesus Christ is the only superstar, and contrary to the play, which was written pretty good except for the end, he resurrects. They forget to do that in the play. So the idea for you to understand is to grasp that we are just dependent on him. We're like kids, and we're dependent on him. And for you to grow in the Lord, in your knowledge and in your understanding, I want to kind of pivot here. This is an important point. Luke 24, 30 through 32 says this. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scripture to us? These are the two guys on the road to Emmaus. And it's the whole process here is that it took Jesus Christ to give them an understanding. And it was through Jesus that their eyes were opened. Because without that opening of the eyes, it's you and me going, they call him Flipper. Because that's a thing happening. We need the Lord to open it up. We need those people will read the word. And it's not just translations. At this point, there's so many fantastic translations. I understand people are privy to one or the other, and I don't really, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. It doesn't bother me as long as they're happy and getting in the word. That's great. But there's so many great translations now, and there's no excuse, none, for us not reading it. But there is something that must happen when you read the word to make the word come alive. Remember Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is alive? Well, if it's not alive, there's only one who can make it alive. so that when you read, you're like going, wow. Now, every time you read, you don't have every moment. It's not a wow. But when you come to read, you should be like, show me anything you want. I'm good. I mean, show me. Teach me. Guide me. If I get one word, one line, one sentence, one thought, one process, if you can get one thing that draws you closer to the Lord, is it not worth it? After all of eternity, just in case everybody's having a problem with this, all of eternity is about spending time with the Lord. So if you are like, I don't like spending time with God, you're going to hate heaven. Well, that's going to be a bummer. So you got to start getting into that. Just to get into it and enjoy it. Remember, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I'm just like, yeah, I'm a happy guy. And so the idea is for us to understand that it is by God that word, it's not the diligence of the teacher. It's not me. It's not what I say. It's God taking what I say and the things that I say and doing something with it between the time it goes from my mouth to your ears. And he makes it something. It's not me. It's not the great. There's so many fabulous teachers. There's so many great people. But it's up to God to give the illumination. Mankind can only scratch the surface of some understanding. But God turns the light on. And no, it's not Motel 6. So the idea is for you to get that this comes from him. And if you're thinking like, well, I don't think I'm getting enough of that, then ask for more. That is the whole point. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Think God's going to say no to you if you want more of God, right? I mean, isn't that kind of a weird way to approach it, right? But their eyes were opened because of Jesus, right? All right, and I got like a minute before we got to exit. So I'll answer that question because we got people texting it. But listen to what I'm saying. You can't do this Christian stuff without Christ. Okay? Can't do it. It has to be in him. And I understand that the world doesn't understand. I mean, I get it. I'm with you. I get it. They're clueless. Come on. They don't even think Jesus is alive. It's clueless, right? There's people that proclaim that they're pastors. They don't believe Jesus is alive. It's absurd, okay? But for you and me, because we're passionate about the Lord, because we want to do right and be right and walk right and do other, just recognize it all has to come through him. That's how he designed it. That's how he designed man in the first place. Which is kind of ironic since we kind of blew that. All right, the answer, who was it that God buried? The answer, the only person God buried, Moses was buried by God. A little bit of Jude reflection there for those that are remembering the letter from Jude. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience. We're going to take a short break right here on KAAM 770, the Christian Station. Don't go anywhere. More to come.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station. Here in Texas. And no, it's not the only Christian station. It's just our Christian station. There you go. Like that? That's our station.
I like that.
There you go.
Our station.
It's our station. That's my station.
Well, then my station would not need a compressor.
Okay.
All right. That was a cheap shot, but it was
You're
funny.
Killing me, Smalls.
I know. Good play right there. Very good. You want to call us, 972-445-0770. You know, it takes bravery to call this show.
Texting, a little easier, 214-210-8483. Here is the last trivia question. Kind of an interesting one. I'm going to give you a little bit of help here just because I think I need to zero it in for you. It's in Luke 16. What did the rich man in hell want? What did the rich man in hell want? 214-210-8483. Also, you can call 972-445-0770. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Also, on the website, there is a Contact Us page in case you don't want to do the email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we have been talking about, what I'm trying to communicate is just really seizing and understanding this dependence that we should have on the Lord, and that's the way that God set it up. And I think what happens for some people is they think, you know, there's a lot in our society that talks about pride and pride of accomplishment. And some of that is good to a degree, but it certainly seems to break the cultural norm when there's this idea that we are to be so self-sufficient that we depend on nobody, which is contrary to Scripture, because we're supposed to be dependent on the Lord. And so you can tell me all that you want to tell me, and believe me, I love our country. I think it's way better than all the other countries combined. But no country is going to be the new Jerusalem. I mean, come on. I mean, if it could be, then it would be. But it can't be, so it shan't be. And it's just really quite straightforward that we have a dependence, and our dependence is upon the Lord. That's how the Lord wants it. The difference is, if you're thinking that you can accomplish more depending on yourself versus depending on the Lord, when you're depending on the Lord, He can use all of your gifts, abilities, and so on and so forth, plus all that He has. When you're just dependent on yourself, it's just what you have. See, that reservoir with God, it's bigger. there's more there. But I think it's important to understand that when you're in Scripture and when you're understanding God and when you're drawing closer, that there has to be a dependence upon the Lord, especially when you're getting into the Word and engaging in what He had to write. And it's pretty clear to most people to understand the veil is done away in Christ. When you're reading the Scripture, the reason that some people read the Old Testament and cannot see it is because they are not applying Jesus, and the veil is still there, and they don't get it. But let me take a very quick moment to make it clear that when you're praying or when you're reading and when you're engaging in the Word of God and when you're looking for God to manifest or to teach you or to help you develop, you are engaging with the Father, okay? Everybody gets that? Through the Son, right? It all comes through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, he said, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you." The thing that bothers me a little bit being a Baptist is I'm exceedingly committed to Scripture in the sense of, look, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, God can write a book. I don't even have problems with the different translations like other people do. I think it's absurd. But you still need the Holy Spirit to make it seizable, graspable, usable, applicable. You can't just read the Scripture and go, I'm just going to do everything God tells me without God. It's like, it's kind of a, I don't want to say that that's dumb, but it's really dumb. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12, it says, "Who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so we may understand what God has freely given us." There is a grasping here that takes place through the Holy Spirit. And this is why Scripture says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, okay, which is to make sad. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, which is has to do with a funnel being closed off. And it's like, don't do that. Why? Because you're hurting yourself. So the reason that I bring that up is for you and I to fully embrace without even reservation. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I don't care if you're Church of Christ. I don't care if you're Presbyterian. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if what your background is. I don't care if you're Catholic. I don't care what your background is. I'm just making sure you got that, okay? It is from the – it is all cored in the Father. It comes through the Son, and it's by the Spirit. It's from the Father – through the Son, by the Spirit, in everything. Those, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they're not, and the problem we have is we have very finite points and we're finite people, so we don't understand infinite and it doesn't make a lot of sense. But what we know for sure is that if there's three in one and one in three at the same time, they're all like doing this cool dance that they're all together in. Well, the Father will reveal things that He wants you to know, given through the Son, and that transpires by the Spirit. That's it, you know? And people don't like this example, but let me use it because I've been dying to share for a while. Because everybody tries to give this example of what a person is in relationship to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have a different take. I'll use my take. You don't have to freak out. Okay? Here it is, keeping it simple. Ready? Okay? I have a brain. That's the Father. I have a heart. That's the Son. I have a body. That's the Spirit. You call me David. There you go. It's like, okay. You can't separate David from his brain, David from his heart, or David from his body. You get that? I love that example because it makes more sense to me than some of the other examples that people use. Okay? So when you do that, engage, depend. Depend on the Lord. Depend, 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 depend. Okay? Okay. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hi, Van. What's going on?
I'm Mac.
All right, my friend. This is a good one now. So the rich man in Luke 16, he was in hell in the story that Jesus is telling. What did he want?
A little bit of water.
A little bit of water. That's exactly right. Exactly. Now, here's the great kicker in that whole story. Here's a rich guy who can have anything he wants, but he gets into eternity, and all he wants is a little water.
Yeah.
That is amazing,
maybe
isn't
slurpee.
It? Yeah, it's an amazing element. Great job, my brother. As always, I count on you. I know when you're on the phone, I'm getting the answer that I'm looking for. Excellent job.
Thank you. All right. Bless you, man.
All right, blessings. All right, and so for all the people that texted in, exactly. A little bit of water to cool his tongue. Just think about that. That's one of the things that I do want to illustrate. Here's a rich guy. He could have, and before he died, he could have had like thousands and thousands of gallons of water and bottled water that goes to hell. And it's like, all I want is a touch of water. Money don't buy you everything. So it's like, there you go. That's kind of a great way to understand that. And so that's a marvelous illustration. All right. So to wind it up, because I only got a minute and a half, just making it super simple. You have a dependence at the level of a child to a parent. Okay. And I'm not talking a child to the parent, the child being 12. And I'm not talking about the child being 9. I'm talking about the child being 3 and 2. That's your dependency, okay? That's number one. Number two, God's not impressed with pros, doesn't think the pros are pros, because they're not pros. He likes the ordinary people to do extraordinary things because it testifies to his activities. Number three, all of this drawing closer and all of this getting it and all of this revealing it and all of this understanding it comes from him. It's him, him, him. And I'm not talking about the song. And the bottom line is we do it from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. From the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And that's how you do it. And you draw closer in it. And if you ask God to open up the word that you're reading, just take 30 seconds and ask him. I think you're going to find that he never says no to that type of prayer. Okay? All right. Excellent, folks. You have been listening. By the way, great job on all the texters. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.